Good morning. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of the First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin, I extend a hearty welcome to all those who are attending worship this morning, either here in this sanctuary or watching at home over the Facebook or whatever means. I want to thank all of you who have kept me in your prayers over the last couple of months. It's been six and a half weeks since my shoulder replacement surgery, and it seems I'm progressing much better than expected. It's amazing what doctors can do. You may not be at all interested in this, but I had reverse shoulder replacement surgery, meaning that the doctor screwed a metal ball into my scapula and then cut off the top of the humerus and put a plate on top of that to meet the ball. It sounds absolutely horrible, but it didn't really hurt all that much. Of course, they gave me some good stuff to keep the pain down, I guess, but it is healing very well, and so I do appreciate your prayers. I also want to thank this congregation for inviting me to come and lead worship this morning. It is communion, and if you did not get one of these little packets when you came in, you need to raise your hand and somebody will get you one. We are looking forward to the day when we can get back to what seems to be the... I see several hands. Okay. Looking forward to the day when we can get back to the regular practice of communion. And I think I've said, I don't like these little things. But during this time we're in now, it's nice to have. Be careful. There's a little tab you peel back, and there's a little cellophane tab. You pull back, and it releases the bread. And then you pull the rest of the tab back at the appropriate time, and you can get to the juice that's inside. So we'll get to that in a little bit. I noticed in the bulletin, and I looked on the piano, we have a rose. In honor of Emma Ruth Brooks, who was born on March the 2nd. Is that right? That's Texas Independence Day, by the way. daughter of Sarah and Kevin Brooks and Mr. and Mrs. J.C. Clement III, grandparents and great-grandparents, Dr. and Mrs. J.C. Clement Jr. So congratulations to the church for a new member, and congratulations to new parents. Are there other announcements that need to be made? If not, will you please join me in prayer? Holy God, we praise your name. We bow before you, the creator and ruler of heaven and earth. On this Lord's Day, we join with apostles, prophets, and all those who have given their lives in your service to worship and adore you, the living God. On this day, we gather with the church universal in heaven and on earth, seeking to honor you in our worship and in our service. Meet us in this place. Nourish our souls through your presence of bread and wine. Strengthen us for your service. And then send us out as disciples, ready to proclaim the wonder of your love and grace. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me in the call to worship. Jesus Christ is Lord of the dead and the living.
Whether we live or die, we belong to God.
Here we stand before the Lord of all of life.
Let every knee and every tongue sing praise.
Let us worship God.
Well, we're going to have a surprise this morning. We're going to change the first hymn. Would you please turn to hymn 280, and we will stand, if you are able, and sing Amazing Grace.
My fears reduced.
Speaking of God's grace, hear the words from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. As long as we are bound to this earth, we will never comprehend the amazing love and grace of God, who in Christ died for the sin of the world. However, we do understand that for our own benefit, we must be willing to confess our sin. Therefore, I invite you to join me in a time of confession, beginning with a prayer that is found in the bulletin. Let us pray. Great God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you. We look to outward appearances and fail to see what pleases you. We look with judgment on others and fail to see our own sin. Forgive us by your steadfast love. Create a clean heart within us. Teach us your holy way and restore the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now will you join me in a time of silent confession? Hear the words of the Apostle Paul. What a wicked man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death?
To God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Church may not be passing offering plates down the pews right now as it used to the consternation of preachers who love to see those offering plates being passed, but we're still called upon to give out of the bounty that God has given us, whether it be a financial gift, the gift of our time, the gift of our skills, for we are called by God to give out of gratitude for the work of God's kingdom in the world. In this particular church, I believe there's an offering plate in the narthex that you can give. You can bring a check by the church office or volunteer for various tasks there. And you can also give by going to the Facebook page or the web page. Will you please join me in prayer? Our Father, we give thanks for the beauty of creation, for life, for friends, for family, and for the salvation we know in Jesus Christ. In gratitude, we offer our lives, our time, our talents, and our money. Make our hearts cheerful in the knowledge that you can use our gifts for your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter reading today is actually Psalm 130, verses 1 through 7. The words are found in the bulletin. Let us read God's word responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I put my hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning.
O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Today, the children were here. I hope some of them are watching on television or however on the computer. I wanted to teach them a word. It's a word that you have to be very careful with. You do not want to use this word unless you have thought about what it means and how to use it. The word is, are you ready for it? The word is ignorant. It can be used in several ways. For example, most of us here are probably ignorant when it comes to quantum physics. I know it has something to do with science. I have absolutely no idea what it is. So you could say the preacher is ignorant when it comes to quantum physics. It is true that the preacher does not know anything about quantum physics. Does anybody in here know, by the way? Okay, we got some scientists in here. Good. It's not so bad to admit that one is ignorant. For example, I really don't know anything about how a car works. All I know is that if it's got gas in the car, when I turn the key, it usually starts. If it doesn't start, I know there's something wrong with the car. If it does start, I can actually drive the car. But to say the honest truth is, I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to the workings of a car. The problem comes is when we think we know, but we don't. The problem comes when we don't know what we are talking about. The problem comes when we are ignorant and we don't think we are ignorant. The problem comes when we refuse to say the words, and I think they're very liberating words, I may be wrong. For example, I used to think that I knew that God, who God loved. I used to think that God loved people like me. God loves those that I love, and God does not love those that I don't like. Do you think that's true, that God loves the people that I love, and he doesn't love the people that I don't love? Of course not. And to think so is, got it. In 2 weeks, it's going to be Palm Sunday. And then after that, Friday comes after Palm Sunday, and it's the saddest day of all. We will remember the day when Jesus was killed. And you know why Jesus was killed. He was killed because people were ignorant. They were wrong about Jesus. They were ignorant. They didn't know that Jesus loved them. They didn't know that Jesus was the Son of God. They didn't know that Jesus was a teacher, their teacher. And they killed him because they were ignorant. I may be wrong, but if people who killed Jesus had known that Jesus was the Son of God, they would not have killed him. They thought they knew that God loved them and who God was, but they obviously did not know Jesus or love Jesus. They were ignorant. They were wrong, and they would not admit they were wrong. And to do, and do you know that the first thing that Jesus said when he was being killed by ignorant people, what did he say? His first words from the cross. You know your Bible. Father, forgive them. Because they're ignorant, because they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Only God knows everything. There is much we do not know. So maybe we should always remember that we might be wrong and be open to others, but I think it is wonderful. It is amazing. It is stupendous. It is my greatest comfort that God loves us so much, God loves everybody so much, that God forgives us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us and for all people. And may we, rather than being judges of people, may we be lovers of people, telling them about your love so that they might know. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the words I read from Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy, beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and in singing of songs and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. During the season of Lent, preachers can get in a rush to get to the cross, and I'm one of the guilty ones. I know it's only the third Sunday of Lent, and we have 2 weeks to go to get to Palm Sunday, which followed by Holy Week, but I hope you don't mind too much if I take us to the cross for only a moment this morning. You see, one of the great themes of Lent is forgiveness, and it is the most difficult thing we do, and it is at the cross that we hear Jesus' prayer for forgiveness for those who are crucifying him. So hear the word from Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 32. Two others, both criminals, were led to be executed with Jesus. Finally, they came to the place called the Skull. All three were crucified there, Jesus on the center cross, and the two criminals on either side. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." From the beginning of his ministry to the very end, Jesus practiced and taught forgiveness. One example of Jesus' teaching is found in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And this servant fell on his knees before the king. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed that servant by the neck and choked him. 'Pay me back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything.' But the first servant refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in a second time. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all your debt because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." The day you may not remember, but it was on October 2nd, 2006. You may not remember the name, but the name was Charles Roberts. What we probably remember is the event when this madman walked into a one-room Amish schoolroom and took the children hostage. Eventually, he shot 10 girls. 5 of them died before turning the gun on himself. As shocking as that news was, what got our attention was the response of the Amish community. Their response shocked every one of us and the entire world. On the day of the shooting, an Amish man whose granddaughter was among the dead warned his younger relatives not to hate Charles Roberts, saying, "Do not think evil of this man." And another reminded his family, "Charles has a mother and a wife and children, and a soul that now stands before God." A delegation of the Amish community visited the Roberts family and said to them, "Do not leave. Stay in our community. Keep on living in your home here." And in the ensuing weeks, the Amish and non-Amish gave the widow of the gunman and her 3 children unconditional comfort and support. The community put up a Christmas tree at the local fire department so the people could donate Christmas presents to the killer's children. Benedictine nun Sister Joan Chedister wrote, "It was not the violence suffered by the Amish that stunned people. It was that the Amish community simply refused to hate what had hurt them. It was the forgiveness that followed the brutal attack for which they were not prepared. It was the lack of recrimination, the death of vindictiveness that left us all amazed, baffled, and confounded. It was the Christianity we all profess, but which they practiced, that so stunned us. Never had we witnessed such a thing before." As unbelievable as that sounds, I wonder if this is what Jesus had in mind when Peter approached him with the question, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? I mean, Andrew, all he does is go fishing, then he comes back and leaves the nets all over the place, and I have to clean up his mess." Well, keep in mind that the religious tradition of that day says that one should forgive 3 times. So Peter was feeling somewhat magnanimous when he said, "How many times should I forgive? 7? And Jesus said, "Stop counting. Don't keep a record. 77, or as Luke says, 70 times 7. 77 or 70 times 7 mean the same thing. Stop counting how many times you forgive. Never stop forgiving. It is a way of life for my disciples." Jesus followed Peter's question with a story. In a way, it's a humorous yet tragic story. A servant who owed a king more money than he could pay back in 10 lifetimes, assuming there was no interest charged. The king forgave the huge debt, and leaving the king's court, probably floating on air with his huge load removed from his shoulders, encountered a fellow servant who owed him for a cheeseburger. However, the second servant could not pay the small amount, so the other servant would not forgive his debt and had him thrown into prison until the debt be paid. When the king heard about the lack of grace on the part of the man he forgave, the king became angry, reversed his decision to forgive, put the first man in jail until he paid that which he owed, which, considering what he owed, meant forever. I'm afraid that forgiveness is one of those words that the more we use it, the more we're inoculated to its reality. We say we forgive, yet we hold on to grudges. And without true forgiveness, we become bitter and all life is affected. If you do not forgive, you will experience bitterness over happiness and joy. You see, we cannot have friends without forgiveness. We cannot have a family without forgiveness. We cannot have a marriage without forgiveness. However, it is true, we can have enemies without forgiveness. It is difficult, very difficult to forgive. It is difficult to let go of the pain, especially if the pain has become the new center of my identity and the new definition of who I am. For I have become the wronged, the hurt person, the victim, and I bitterly hold on to this new identity with all my strength. I've done it, maybe you have, and if we're not careful, forgiveness will be superficial and end with actually having no use or no meaning. Forgiveness is not simple, Oh, don't worry about it. But forgiveness means confronting the evil, the pain, and the suffering, naming it, and graciously dealing with it. 6-year-old boy was running through the house, and the mother told him, "Stop running through the house because you'll stumble and hurt yourself or you'll break something." Well, the boy kept running through the house, and of course he stumbled and he fell and he broke his mother's favorite vase. His father saw what happened, picked up the boy, dusted him off, and said, "Ah, don't worry about it, it's just a vase." However, the mother knelt down and gathered up all the shattered pieces of the vase and said softly, "It wasn't just a vase. It was my favorite vase. My mother gave this vase to me, and her mother gave it to her, and I looked forward to giving it to you." And she wept, and the little boy wept, and the mother took him in her arms and hugged him, and he hugged her back. Who really forgave, the father or the mother? The father was simply overlooking something. The mother was giving and teaching forgiveness. Remember the time following apartheid in South Africa? It's interesting that I saw that movie Invictus last night. It was on the television. But with so many were worried about the bloodbath that would ensue. Even if the political transition from all white to African authority could be accomplished peacefully, everyone expected payback, a time of vengeful, bloody retaliation against the police, the courts, and the armed forces that enforced apartheid so brutally and violently. But Nelson Mandela and other African leaders came up with the notion of commissions to which perpetrators of violence on both sides would be identified or asked, invited to come and testify in exchange for clemency. It was not a perfect system. But the most amazing thing happened as witnesses told their stories of how they participated in violence as victims and or perpetrators. The proceedings took on the aura of a confessional. Strong, hard people began to shed tears. And then the most amazing thing happened. Healing and hope. Something evil had been interrupted. And so when Archbishop Desmond Tutu wrote his memoirs, he titled it, "No Future Without Forgiveness." It was reported in the Presbyterian Outlook a couple of years ago that the mission, one of the missions of the Presbyterian Church USA in partnership with the church in Rwanda, encouraged the same thing, where victims and perpetrators of ethnic cleansing were coming together and confessing what they had done and crying and weeping and holding each other. And now today, these perpetrators and victims together gather in the same sanctuary to worship. Through the grace of God and the ability to forgive by victims has caused healing, that now those victims of ethnic cleansing and their perpetrators worshiping together. Can you believe it? Forgiveness confronts the reality of what has happened, but decides to break the cycle of vengeance. Jesus had a lot to say about it. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Every Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Now, is that a dangerous prayer to you? Are you forgiving others? Because if you're not, what is that prayer saying? When I consider the politics, the riots, the vengeance, when I see pictures of thugs invading the United States Capitol building, when I hear all the outrageous conspiracy theories, I wonder if healing can only come to our nation when we learn to forgive and to move on. William Willimon, reflecting on Jesus' story of the unfaithful, unforgiving servant, wrote, "All those times when Jesus walked Galilee on bright days, he was forever walking up to folks and without warning saying to those whom he met, 'Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more.' Almost nobody, except for maybe the thief on the cross, actually asked for forgiveness. But Jesus knew that without forgiveness being the first word, there could be no meeting between God and humanity. Jesus' life and practice proclaims to us that God's forgiveness precedes repentance. God's forgiveness is the first word of the divine human conversation. It is as if, Willimon said, when God first created the world, his first words were not, 'Let there be light,' but rather, 'Let there be forgiveness.'" Pastor John Buchanan writes, "I know someone whose family has suffered the most devastating loss imaginable, the murder of a daughter and sister, her unborn child, and her husband. The young man who did it is in jail and will be for the rest of his life. My friend has thought about this deeply and more immediately than any theologian or legal scholar. She wrote an article on the death penalty, which she opposes. Does healing require forgiveness? As a Christian, it does for me. To be clear, I forgive the killer not because he has an excuse. He has no excuse. I forgive him not because he asked for it. He hasn't asked for forgiveness. I do not forgive him because of him. I forgive him for the one who asked me and taught me to forgive, Jesus Christ. For the author and protection of my faith is Christ. Now imagine the deep bitterness and resentment that would have ruined this life for the rest of her life, of which she has now been freed. She still experiences the pain, but she's free of the bitterness. I have never believed it when I hear it, but over the years when I have served in various churches, I have heard church members come up to me and say, "Steve, some of our members in the church don't like each other. As a matter of fact, Steve, you would be surprised." Well, I didn't believe it then, and I still don't believe it, for I cannot fathom a church that can have people who hold grudges against each other. Surely they know they're wrong. I know they're wrong. I know there are disagreements, but that doesn't negate the fact that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We don't have to agree, but we have to love and forgive and carry on the mission of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the one whose greatest prayer for the church is that we be one. Do you realize the only prayer that Jesus prays for the church today is that we be one? It's in the great prayer in John 17. Jesus prays for his disciples, and then he says, "I pray for those who will believe because of their witness about us." And his prayer is that they be one. And if you allow our differences of opinion and differences, other differences, get in the way and refuse to forgive, then we may as well just hang it up. Jesus, should I forgive my brother seven times? No, Jesus said. Stop counting. I am forever haunted by John Newton, former slave trader who became abolitionist. He was the inspiration behind Wilberforce's work in Parliament to end England's participation in slave trade. As I consider John Newton's words, I know they apply to me. We just sang them. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Think about that. I am certain that amazing grace is on the top 10 list of almost every person in here this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. How important is that? How central to our faith. We are deep into Lent. The cross looms ahead. When they nailed Jesus to the cross and left him hanging there, his strength fading, his life literally bleeding out of him, looking down, watching as his friends ran away, the authorities mocking him and taunting him, as soldiers threw dice for what was left of his garments, he spoke. The Bible says he spoke seven times, but consider the first words he spoke from the cross. He did not say, "You're all going to burn in hell for this." No, Jesus did not say, "You're going to get yours one day." No, he did not say, "You're going to be sorry." He did not curse. He did not say, and pardon this, "God, damn them for this." Those who were there heard him say simply, "Father, forgive them." Each Sunday we pray, "Father, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors." Can you forgive? Can you? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the example of our Savior Christ. We pray you will make it the desire of our hearts to emulate him in every way we can. And on this day, We pray that you will help us to understand how we are to forgive. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. And also with you. We lift them to the Lord. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Our Savior Jesus Christ, who joined us on our journey, who was so
deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to close today with Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive, hymn number 347. Stand if you are able.
Of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.